2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes!
Yes! The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Brogdon gets it into Williams. He attacks the basket, puts it up, blocked by Kessler, pulled up by Markkanen, knocked away, rolling into the backcourt as the clock goes to zero, and the Jazz have beat the Boston Celtics as Walker Kessler defends the rim. Everyone join me. Walker, Ross, Kessler.
Don't. You almost heard Ron Boone in there go, don't cuss. Like, you know, I know that he wasn't saying that, but it, because there are a lot of people saying Walker freaking Kessler that night, you know, not Walker, Ross, Kessler. Say it with me.
I think
me.
The freaking part came when he kept missing the free throws.
There is a part. You know what? Make it up for that. Where hey, that's. That a block at an end of a game might be cooler than a 3-point shot to win it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, no.
The idea of
every bit is exciting. That's it.
Like, would you rather absolutely stuff a dude at the rim or hit that game-winning 3-point shot? And I think that might be the biggest play of his rookie season.
Yeah. Incredible.
It was just so – and it was – I mean, he's had a lot of great blocks. He's had a lot of fun things happen during the year. He's had games where he scored more points. But you know what? Walker Kessler, and that was just such a fun evening. And, you know, my kid goes, I'm going to this game on Saturday. I said, well, you know, hey, good luck. Tell me if they're in tank mode, you know. And so we're texting throughout the game because I'm watching it at home.
Yeah.
And I was just like, down 19 in the second quarter. That's about right. Moving on. I'm toggling between that and the March Madness that's going on. And I go, and then when I start to see him sort of creep back a little bit before halftime, when I see him start edging a little bit in the second half and getting close, it felt like of a weekend of 15-2 upsets, that was a 15-2 upset.
Yeah, it felt like the Jazz, you know, were just going to find a way to lose the game. And they just somehow found a way to win it. And the thing that just jumped out at me about all of it was, they keep surprising us. Like, this team keeps surprising us.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
It's amazing. It's awesome. No one in the building thought they'd beat the Celtics, and it was exciting and wonderful. Before we get all in on that, though, I have to tell you something that I discovered this past weekend.
Should we get into the cut first?
No, I can tell
okay,
you.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you can if you
no,
want.
No, but let's this do is, this, and then we'll get into the cut. I'm sure this isn't. This is probably not nearly as important as the cut, but.
It's probably the most important thing you're going to hear
okay,
today.
Okay, all right.
Because you're a young father.
You are
a father.
What
of,
do you mean?
Well, you,
I've
I
been
mean,
a father for
you got
a,
you got very young children
years,
that have
but...
potty mouths and you, some parenting needs to be in order here.
Gosh.
And I'm going to give you some advice about
I told
good
you
parenting.
That in confidence.
Well, I didn't say that it was your 2.5-year-old daughter that's swearing in front of her. I didn't say that part. Nobody knows about that.
She's a parrot, dude. She's just a little parrot.
It's an indictment on her parents.
I know.
Anyways, so I read this article, and it actually said that dad jokes are very important to the development of your children.
Oh, gosh.
And no, this is research. See, exactly. That's the whole point of this. And here's the reason why. Okay. It shows your children that you can be awkward and embarrassing and people can make fun of you and you're still okay with it. And it teaches them that, you know what, it's okay if I'm in an awkward or embarrassing situation. It's not the end of the world.
Just get your degree in child development.
So learning to laugh at yourself a little bit is actually, because you told me something that's probably about the funniest thing I think I have heard.
It was our two-year-old.
Oh, my goodness. It was just hilarious. Two-year-old. Anyway, so just so you know, dad jokes are good.
That's good. Yeah. Yep. Maeve is unique. Our two-year-old's unique.
Uh-huh.
She's got quite the vocabulary, and we didn't know it went this far.
Yeah.
And when she busted something out, we were like, what? But everybody couldn't help but die. Die laughing a little bit.
Yep.
So, all right. Hit the cut button and let's get into some Utah Jazz talking, amongst other things. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Back to you, out, bro.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Just showing Scott my new $40 Nikes.
Yeah.
I think it's like the kind of thing where they go, hey, there's a lot of this that happens in my life, too, because I wear a 14. You are a 14. So
sure.
You kind of go through the same thing. Jeremy, are you a 14? Is our whole freaking show? Oh, you're like a 12. You're a tall guy with like an 11?
14. Depends on the brand.
Okay. So I found some shoes, and I was like, and they were $39. Mm. These nice little Nike, you know, waffle ones or whatever. Shoes that a fat guy, like,
loves.
Well, you're not going to go, can't wait to hit the road on. I'll probably put 1,000 miles on these things, you know, on my road races. It's like, nah, this is just, they're comfy, but they're $39. And I was like, and I think it's because they're like, we can't get rid of these in 14. We cannot get rid of them.
See, for me, I go, where are the 14s? And then I work on.
Right. You go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit
the same thing
way.
With cars. It's like, do I fit in it?
Where's
it's
the
like,
big truck?
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
One of my funnier things is that one year, Dave Noriega, who does Dave and Dujanovic over on KS on his radio, he and I were Cougar Sports Saturday host for almost a decade together. And he has a smart car. So Dave's kind of between you and I in height and size. Like he just is like, he's 6'5"-ish.
Yeah.
And he's not slight, you know?
Right.
I'm about 6'3", and I'm not slight. And he owns a smart car.
Yeah.
I know. And we had to take it somewhere one time.
Oh.
We got out of that thing. And at that point, I think it was a lot bigger, too. So we get out of that thing, and we're getting made fun of. You know, and like, I'm like, I go, Dave, you're doing this to yourself. People look at you and they see you get out of it. And I know you think it's a fun joke every time, but man, you got to stop doing that. Oh. The Utah Jazz win over the Boston Celtics. Great win for them. I'm not going to go, you're supposed to be losing, because I think that's a popular take. People have to be like, oh, man. But when you don't have Jordan Clarkson and you don't have Colin Sexton, and I'm not saying if those guys are there, then they win by 15. But I do think that there is something here that you're witnessing, and it has nothing to do with the guys that are on the court. I mean, ultimately it does. But look straight look straight courtside at Will Hardy and his guys and his assistants. That's what that win on Saturday was. It was being able to, and I do think there was probably a little bit of Boston getting, you know, it's a long trip for them and whatever, but it's still the best team
in the NBA.
Yes, I mean, and it's still the best record. They have the best record in the NBA. Yeah. So, or do the Nuggets still? Either way, they're the one seed out of the East, and they're your odds-on favorite to win the title this year. So, you see this team come in. We marked that up. They play the Celtics two times in the next 10 days. I mean, that was the first one, right? And then they go to Boston, which if you had that one on your calendars, then. If you think they're going to lose that one by less than 25, I'm just calling it now. Like this, because that Boston team's going to be like, oh, we remember what happened.
Cuts both ways, though, because they're just, you know, you think of like the San Antonio Spurs, and they just seem to have the Jazz's number.
For some reason.
You know?
Yeah.
Like there's no reason the Jazz should lose to them, but they do.
Yeah.
And it's
like Jamal Crawford. Every time we face the Jazz, freaking kill them. Right.
And it could be the same kind of thing. Well, and I asked David Locke this question last week when we talked to him, and he wasn't quite sure what I was asking, and we kind of just skipped over it a little bit, but I think it's important even then, and I still do now. You have all of these guys. I mean, Talen Horton Tucker was awesome down the stretch. He was awesome in this game, and you started to see the what I think Will Hardy and a lot of these other coaches have seen, that just the physical difference. In, I mean, he's as tall as I am. He's 6'6". I mean, he's a bit, and you can just see he's got really broad shoulders. You know, there's just some people that kind of have those droopy, slight shoulders, but he's like, you know, he looks like he was in the military or something. He's just got that V going across his upper body and got super long arms. And so you just see players like him, and you see Ochai Agbaji, who just really is coming into his own, and Walker Kessler. And I know Walker was there before, but he was such a big part of this win. And all of a sudden, this Jazz team, because of the moves that the team's made, because of injuries, there have been guys that have gotten significant playing time and have just made, like, the most out of it. I mean, you got Chris Dunn, who we're going to hear a lot of here during the show today, talking, you know, to Jeremiah Jensen. But these guys never would have had an opportunity. They wouldn't have as much of an opportunity had – you know, Jordan Clarkson, Colin Sexton, been healthy.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These trades not happened. So this team has shown
to get good. Like, well, they have to
shown,
get better.
They've shown that they, you know, they've had an ability. I mean, it got really ugly there when the trades happened and these guys hadn't played well together. Simone Fontecchio was struggling. Johnny Jujang was coming in the game. You're just like, this dude isn't going to hit a shot. Who's this Chris Dunn? He's going to be around for 10 days. You know, and Talon Horton Tucker was like a runaway missile that had no control. You know, he was that heat-seeking missile that just ran into the first warm body he could run into. You know, just kind of playing like he's a chicken with its head cut off kind of mindset. And you're just like, this Jazz team's a hot mess. And then all of a sudden these guys get hot and there's no mess in them at all.
Right.
And so then you bring back Clarkson and you bring back Sexton. I guess to me, what I'm curious, does it make this team deeper now? Does this team really? I mean, could they potentially make some kind of run in the playoffs, or are these guys? You know, when JC comes back and Sexton, what does it do to Talon Horton? Does he go on the bench? You know, does he go back? Is he relegated to, you know? And does that impact him? Like, he goes, oh shoot, now I'm on the bench again, or does it, like, he now comes in a game and he's just this electric spark plug, you know, from a role player position as opposed to being a starter. I just think this Jazz team, when it's completely healthy, I'm not going to say they're going to make but they could be a playoff team. And if it's true, and if that's the case, wow. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you've dismantled a team that two years ago had the best record in the NBA, has two legitimate all-stars on it, and was posed to make a serious run in the playoffs. You tear apart the entire team, and the next year you have this team that could compete to go to the playoffs. That's insane to me. And every person has gone way above and beyond anybody's expectations. Everybody.
Yeah.
And so to your point, you're absolutely right that it's this coaching staff, it's the front office, it's the player, it's like the perfect storm of misfit toys that you could possibly assemble, and they're just fighting every week and they're still kind of in it. Now, I don't know if these guys come back. I don't know what the status of JC and Colin Sexton is, you know, and do they come back and are they rusty and they got to work out their game, and does that kind of take the Jazz, you know, while they, you know, they kind of lose a couple of games because these guys are off? And I don't know, but
it's,
I think it'd,
like,
be so exciting to see what happens if those guys come back and all these guys are playing like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's just hilarious because I honestly don't care. I just don't care what happens in any of these games now. I legitimately am like, hey, you know what? I think Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck are absolute geniuses, and I don't think that they necessarily care either how it's going to end up, because they know they have a plan for whatever the outcome is.
Hold on just a second.
What?
When you talk about geniuses, I think we failed to say something today.
What is it?
Talking about geniuses.
I don't want to blow it.
No, you know who two geniuses are? You and me.
Yeah, man. Hey.
We are leading the charge in the March Madness bracket.
I can't believe it took you this long to say
it. We are the leaders.
I know.
I know. That's like, how could we forget this?
I went on, listen.
We're leading. We're leading the pack. We're the smartest people in the room, Alex.
What's great about this is that it won't change for the next few days either.
Nope.
So we can run this thing down for a while. Oh my gosh.
We are going to wear
this
thing out.
Tomorrow at this exact time, we're going to give an update. We're going to give an update every day on where we're at in the bracket.
Yeah.
Because for the next few days, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
Unrivaled's two hosts, Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, tied for first in the bracket mayhem. Brought to you by Burt Brothers Tire and Service. Wait, listen, I mean, the thing is, it's going to end awfully, especially for you, because you have Arizona winning it.
Yeah,
I had Purdue in the Final Four. That one of my Final Four teams is out. But you, like, at this point, we can at least say the first week until the round of 16, you and I were champions.
We are smart. We are smart.
Oh my gosh!
Anyways, didn't mean to interrupt the program.
I actually did.
But
I wanted you to interrupt it with that because I didn't want to be the one to bring it up. But I will say, too, you were in the lead all weekend.
Yeah.
And I finally caught up to you with one last win.
Oh, man.
It was that Creighton game that put Creighton. I have them in the Elite Eight. And so I was like, hey, man, I got these.
That darn Marquette team. And they just they let me down.
I told you. My neighbor kept calling him Marquette. And I go, Jim, I know that means actually that you know nothing about this, which is actually scary because you probably will win this whole thing. He's like, shoot, I had Marquette going to the Final Four. And I was like, quit it with the Marquette stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
I should not have bet against Tom Izzo. I shouldn't have.
I think a lot of people went, he's over it. They look at that number 7 seed, and then they move on. But my heavens.
Yep.
Like, he's an astute dude, and he knows where he's at for all these. So there you go. All right. Back to the Jazz very quickly. See, this is a tangential situation here for you and I if we go squirrel to squirrel. I don't really know what I want more development-wise. What should we expect in the next 12 games out of this team? Or for the next 11 games out of this team? What are we supposed to expect out of these guys? And I've just consigned myself to thinking, I don't care. I don't care. I'm not going to be upset if they go to the play-in. I'm not going to be upset if they're the 13th team in the West or the 12th or the 11th. You know, I don't think that it really matters that much in the grand scheme of things. I don't think that they're ever going to be in that running for Scoot Henderson or Victor Wembanyama, certainly. Which, by the way, this Brooks kid out of Alabama, he's kind of nipping a little bit at the heels of Scoot Henderson, who hasn't had a great second half of his G League season. So you've got this guy who's the definite number one prospect coming out of college.
Yeah,
and then you have the like absolute number one in Victor Wembanyama. Nobody's going to pass up on him. But Scoot Henderson isn't the slam dunk. You see what I did there? Number two pick in the overall in the draft now. But that's good to see that you have three guys that people are after, and not just the two. And there's not a precipitous fall off of those first two. But I just don't. I'm not. I just tell myself the Jazz aren't going to get those three guys anyway. They've got some dudes that they have,
Well,
they
keep
really
playing
like
they are now. There's no
definitely
way.
No way. Yeah. So I just think I'm glad that Will Hardy is developing the way that he is because it's just as important that he becomes an amazing, great coach as fast as he can. And that guy should be in the discussion for, a team, a guy, not a coach of the year situation necessarily, but he certainly has done something really impressive with a team that nobody thought was going to win more than 20 games.
Here's the thing I think that has been the most impressive about this team, and probably since the trade, because I don't think it really there was an impact until after the trade. Was the Jazz have actually gotten significantly better on defense? I think they were 28, and now they're 21. But defense was what helped get them back in that game, and they went to a defense that something they've talked about, expanding. And trying with the length and the size of their starting lineup with Kelly Olynyk and Walker and Markkanen. And so they did it in the game, and it really was very helpful against a really great player like Jason Tatum, who you could see, I don't know that, you got a sense that maybe he was a little frustrated. It looked a little bit like this is almost a playoff type of move, you know, for the
right.
Jazz.
Yep.
But it's been defense. As much as it's been player development, you were talking about player development, it's like team development. Like, this team has gotten better defensively. And, of course, one of the big things last night was, you know, turnovers, and that maybe you're turning a corner, because the turnovers just have just been so just mind-numbingly just annoying this
year.
Wild,
yeah.
And you're seeing a team. Now, when you have guys developing and figuring things out, you know, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. And so I think they've lived with it. But you're starting to see less turnovers, better defense. And who knows where that takes this team. Now, they've got a brutal schedule still. I mean, this is not – it's murderer's row.
Yeah, but guess who the best team was on that murderer's row coming into Saturday? The Boston Celtics.
And they're going to play them again.
And they're going to play them again.
On the road. They're going to be playing Milwaukee. They're going to be playing Phoenix. They're going to be playing Denver.
This week is great. And there's a lot of games. They have to play today, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So it's going to be quite a long week of four games in 6 days. And I think that this team is going to learn a lot about themselves then, too. That's a good part about having moving parts that are super young, that you're actually just trying to develop a little bit. These are the times that these guys will find out. You're going to get guys who will solidify a little bit more of a spot, at least in the head of Will Hardy, and maybe get themselves into that. All you want to do is get to the offseason and be a part of this program going into the summer and maybe going into training camp.
Don't you feel good about this team that they've been in so many tough games? I mean, how many games have they been that just have gone down to the wire? And you've got to believe that just, you know, really just makes you so much tougher and so much more confident, and you're able to handle the most pressured situation you could ever be in. You know, you have to make a clutch shot to win a game late. And a lot of guys have risen to that challenge this year, or you make a great defensive play, whatever it is. But the Jazz have been in so many of those that has to be something that carries forward with them as they get to be this better team. It's like, you know what, you know, that's what the playoffs is, and that you know, winning to those close games like that are what it's all about. And I just, you know, it's just another one of those layers that I think this Jazz is just building that foundation.
Think
on.
About how wild it is that in the month of March, and we're, you know, what's wild is we're 20 days in.
We only have 12 games left.
But Talen Horton-Tucker has almost 18 points a game in this month. Simone Fontecchio has almost 13 a game. Those are guys who just directly benefited from the entire reshuffle that has happened and injuries and all those things. And I don't know. Talen Horton-Tucker's got an $11 million player option for next year. Does he want to be here? Like, we'll find out pretty quick if this is something he wants to do. These next few games are going to solidify a lot about this roster. And it's also going to – there are going to be dudes who you see on here, you go, I like the way he plays, and they're not going to be on this team next year. So be it. That's how this game is. And I will tell you, you think you might be attached, but you're not. The ones you're kind of attached to, those guys aren't leaving. I don't think that Lowry's leaving. I don't think that Walker Kessler's leaving. And after that, I kind of don't know what the future of any of these guys are.
I think you'd feel bad if Talen Horton-Tucker left. If he's had such a great,
but he's sort of reopened everybody's minds. But maybe but guys like him, you wonder if they're playing to be able to get to that next
somewhere.
Tryout,
yeah.
Right? Or get to that tryout for these are our tryouts for him over the next 12 games.
And you have to ask yourself,
team.
You know, if I go to another team, are they going to give me the same kind of leeway and the same opportunity to really grow and develop
or
as
do
a player
guys,
as I could do it here in Utah?
Or do guys go, you know what? I have a lot. I have so much less pressure here than I did like in Talen Horton-Tucker's case in L.A. I really like Will Hardy. Do they love Will Hardy and what his style is? He certainly squeezed a lot out of these guys. And I think they'd be really dumb to just say, I'm going to leave immediately, because they're not going to get this kind of exposure. They're not going to get this kind of coaching probably, at that same level at some of the places they go to. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do return, speaking of the Utah Jazz, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television sat down a one-on-one this weekend with Chris Dunn, newly signed member of the Jazz roster no longer a two-way or 10-day guy. He is on this team, and he has played his way. Speaking of guys who have developed thanks to this reshuffle, he has absolutely played his way into the conversation about being part of these long-term plans. Is he going to be? Would you want that? We'll listen to his audio. Awesome stuff by Jeremiah, by the way. You'll hear from Chris Dunn next, right here, 97.5 KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.